The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guests on Off the Shelf are Ken Georgie. He's a vice president, Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar. He's a program vice president, and they're both from General Dynamics Health Solutions. Ken and Kurt, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. We're going to be talking about IT health or just information technology, current trends, what's going on in the marketplace, what you guys are seeing. I think the biggest one that everybody talks about all the time, but I think it's I'm looking forward to hear your insights, is the cloud and what's going on in the cloud. Can you talk a little bit first, just your thoughts about what are agencies doing? How are they approaching cloud services at this point?
Sure. I think there's still a lot of momentum of getting to the cloud. I think the agencies we work with, I think they're kind of on a spectrum of how mature they are getting to the cloud, and the approaches to getting there vary, you know, pretty significantly between the customers.
Right. So what is that spectrum? Talk a little bit about, you know, some people probably are extremely sophisticated.
That's exactly it, right? I think you got to get back to the business driver of why they're going to the cloud in the first place, right? For some of them, they think there's going to be, it's pure cost savings, right? For others, it's the cost is a real secondary issue, and it's speed to market, right? A lot of the agencies are under federal mandates, time is of the essence, and one of the real, you know, one of the key attributes of cloud is the speed. In the old world, it used to be, okay, we need to put together a bill of material, expedite the order, spend the weekend racking and stacking servers, and, you know, best case, 2 or 3 weeks later, your developers are working. In the cloud environment, it's nearly instantaneous, right? You're there within a few hours.
Right, and that allows agencies to adopt new technologies or new capabilities much quicker, I would assume, right, Kurt?
Yeah, and some, frankly, are just doing it to check the block, right? There's the cloud-first mandate that's out there.
Sure.
People are just moving to do that. But most are finding a lot of more cost benefit, speed to market as they move into the cloud.
You know, the cost issue, and just peeling that back a little bit, I'm just going to use my organization as an example. Like, we've moved to the cloud. So, and we've seen that being a big cost saver. I mean, we don't have to buy stuff anymore. The back end of it, that's primarily taken care of. And just the savings that we've achieved for that. Are you seeing that across agencies? And how is it? I mean, it's a long-term deal, right? You're not making those initial upfronts of capital investments.
That's right? Exactly. Really, the big change from the customer, it's not just from the technology perspective, but really the cost and delivery model is moving what was referred to as the OPEX model. I'm paying for my cloud costs, my compute storage, as I use it, as I consume it, much like a utility. And so what that helps out a lot of the customers, they don't have a really spiky investment path, right? It's not, hey, I need X millions of dollars for a big technical refresh every 4 years, which can be tough from a budget cycle, but it's a much smoother. Similarly, on the cost spectrum, in terms of delivery, we have some customers who have very spiky workloads, right? They have annual enrollment periods or reporting periods or submission periods. And so they need a tremendous amount of computing power and IT resources for 1 to 2 months out of the year. And for 10 months, they really don't. So in the old world, if you're caught in this quandary, well, if I need to handle the peak month or a few weeks, I'd have to have a tremendous amount of resources available. But then those resources were essentially wasted the remaining 10 months. And so with the cloud model, it's not just scalable, meaning you can go up, but it's elastic, meaning you can scale back down. And that can really help you contain costs.
Right. So I'm hearing cost savings, flexibility, both scalable across and, to increase volumes, as well as, access to technologies. Are there any other tangible benefits that you see from the cloud? I mean, those are big. I mean, those are strategic benefits that, make understandable for people moving to the cloud. Are there any other
I think some of it takes you into the agile development and DevOps topic a little bit, where, again, it really, I have infrastructure available to me right now, right this minute. I don't have to go through a procurement cycle. I have things immediately available. It allows me to fail early rather than later, where failure is cheap. And so, you know, the cloud allows you to invest a smaller amount in some infrastructure rather than a huge outlay for that same infrastructure. So again, it's how you can operate and the opportunities that the cloud provides to the government as well.
Sure. So all those benefits, what are some of the things can hold in agencies back from, you know, moving to the cloud? You know, is it raining out there? I don't know.
I always go back to the, what's the business driver for getting there?
Sure.
Right? And focus on that. For a lot of them, at, I guess its most basic level, it's a trust issue. Right, trust primarily in the security of the cloud, and it's also somewhat of a lack of familiarity with, once we get there, how will we operate? I think a lot of folks focus on, should we go there, how will we get there, and there's not a lot of thought sometimes given to, once we're there, how will we operate, how will we maintain control of the environment, how will we optimize the environment, right? The decision to get there and the migration might be 6 months, but the you know, operates kind of forever.
Right.
And
right,
sometimes
sure.
a lot less thought is given on the forever part. And that's, I think, really the critical piece.
Yeah, that's interesting because as a procurement lawyer, when I hear you describe that, there's a lot of, I think of, actual procurements. There's a lot of thought up front. And the sexy part is, you know, the actual acquisition, the procurement process, awarding the contract, and maybe or maybe not the bid protest. But then the back end, the actual performance and contract administration, there's less, you know, sort of focus on that. That's, I mean, to me, when I'm listening to you, that sort of strikes me. And speaking of procurement, do you see one of the things that, you know, that I've heard is that the government's challenge in part two is understanding how to articulate cloud requirements. And, you know, that I guess goes to part the back end to ultimately, you know, management of it. But is that an area where you see it makes it harder for agencies to adopt, how to figure out how to structure the contract effectively?
Yeah, a lot of lessons learned on our part in terms of what works best working with the customer, because again, it's an OPEX model. And on one hand, you want the flexibility the cloud's going to give you. I want it now. I want to be able to deliver it, you know, all those advantages. But the other side of the coin is, how do I maintain governance and control of my enterprise when I'm enabling, providing a lot of flexibility to other organizations that are essentially tenants or users of my environment? What's that balance?
Right. Well, I was going to say, you know, just like any contract, obviously the cloud being a utility is served better by T&M or fixed price per unit type things.
And sure.
So what we see is a combination, you know, where there's a fixed price component of those things that are predictable, just like you would in many of these type of contracts that are non-cloud, and then a more variable component that would be time and materials or a firm fixed price per unit to allow the government to, you know, be able to predict their ceilings and things of that nature.
Right. And that sort of lends itself too to that example, Ken, that you gave where there's 2 months out of the year where your work spikes and then it goes down. It's like it's utility, right? It is on demand, like pricing. Can you guys talk a little bit too? One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is cloud alternatives. I don't even know what that means, but whether, you know, public, private, hybrid, what are cloud alternatives?
Sure. Ken? Within the cloud space, right, there are different deployment models. Private, essentially, where you have one tenant or one owner of that cloud. Other end of the spectrum is a public cloud, like one of the hyperscalers, Azure, Amazon, Google.
Sure.
And again, depending on those business needs and how you're going to operate, it's going to drive what your options are.
Okay.
And one of the things we see, for example, a lot of agencies want to take advantage of the cloud for things like that do scale up and down rapidly. For example, maybe their front end, their web portal, but they're uncomfortable, they have requirements from a security perspective and want to keep their data layer, want to keep their data on site. So in that case, what's known as a hybrid cloud may be an appropriate option. So again, these things are, there's not a one-size-fits-all in cloud. It's very tailored depending on the delivery model and how you're going to operate in that model.
Okay, and guys, we're already up on the first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about GDIT's actual experience delivering cloud for for government customers. My guests today are Ken Georgi. He is Vice President, Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar. He is Program Vice President. They're both from General Dynamics Health Solutions. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from General Dynamics Health Solutions. Ken Georgi, he is Vice President, Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar is Program Vice President. And guys, when we took the break, you know, the first segment was great. We gave sort of an overview of the cloud and where what's going on with it. And I wanted to give an opportunity, Kurt, to talk a little bit about GDIT's experience in delivering cloud for customers.
Sure.
Particularly government customers.
And thank you. So GDIT has been doing cloud type things, I'd say, for about 10 years, watching it evolve. So we provide a community cloud through the GDIT cloud to several federal customers, which is basic hosting in that sort of environment. We work with several public clouds providers, such as AWS, Azure, and we provide engineering services on top of those public clouds for various customers that, a lot of these public clouds, they provide a lot of services, but there's still some governance and stuff that needs to go on top of that. And then GDIT has also implemented private clouds for various customers that prefer on-site things, cloud capabilities that they have on their own premise. Those customers that are more worried about security haven't quite made that leap from a private cloud to the public cloud, that might have just more stringent requirements of having things on-premise.
Ken, so are you finding you mentioned some of the public clouds, and I guess sort of in a certain sense sounds like as in some cases your subcontractors or supported part of an integrated solution to deliver the cloud services.
That's correct.
Are you finding that's where the majority of government customers are going, or to me one of the things that a company like yours provides is that great government expertise, not just, that you said, as Kurt, you alluded to some key, unique government aspects of it that go into delivering a requirement and, but at the same time, the capability to tap, others in the commercial, non-traditional commercial contractors. Is that something you're seeing?
I think it's still, in terms of cloud, I think it's still a mixed bag. Okay. We have some that are going to the public clouds, AWS, Azure primarily. They have their FedRAMPs, right? DoD Impact Level 4 and 5 in the case of Azure, and AWS should still soon be there. And it really gets back to what's driving, right, from a security perspective, from a customer requirement perspective for where they want to go. Each of those clouds is optimized in a different way. So that's what we try and tailor back to.
Sure, and that's really you got to understand what your customers' needs are. Let's talk about a little bit more about security and what are the big picture trends in cloud security right now?
I think we're seeing a maturing in the public cloud space, right? FedRAMPs now, both at the infrastructure level as well as the platform and software level. There, you can go out to the government site and see where FedRAMP accreditation is much more widespread. Higher levels of FedRAMP, expedited processes. So that's become much more mature, and a lot of our customers look for their solution to have an element of that, if not all of that, depending on their security requirements.
And I think agencies are looking, it's learning to trust, that FedRAMP requirement and what the cloud's doing. The security issues are the same as they would be in traditional data centers. Still providing the same. It's just being comfortable with how those controls are being implemented in a cloud environment where things aren't stationary, for example. But again, it comes down to, as an agency moves into the cloud, they really have to look at, for example, the reference architectures, their security guidelines, and how those would be implemented in a traditional data center or even a private cloud versus how you might take that out into a public cloud. And I think the public cloud is really the area that concerns the agencies more than the other models.
I think that's critical. You mentioned that the two pieces, you can't just, hey, we know cloud. You need to know where they're coming from, which is traditional data centers, and the governance from a security perspective around that, whether the NIST standards or the things or FISMA that layer on top of that. And it's really being able to give that bridge between the two because the technical architectures are very different. Right.
Kurt, I picked up something you said about, it's the same issues and just in a different sort of form. Because when I picture that, I'm thinking about Well, you have the cloud, and that's the folks out there who have the data centers, who have the iron or whatever, and are managing it for you. And they have the same challenges as the agency does if the agency had the stuff on site and doing it. Is that fair?
It is fair, but I think the difference is that, you know, the FedRAMP.
Well, first of all, was that a good question?
It is a good question.
Yeah, we get that question a lot, right? Okay. There's a lot of unknown. How will it work there? It seems and at one level it is significantly different, and the other end, it's not different, right? There are still managerial controls, technical controls, a governance model. You know, FedRAMP is very strict in what you need to apply to it, and having agencies understand that, plus the unique security requirements at the agency level, I think is the key perspective we can bring.
Right. Yeah. Kirk?
Well, I was just going to say the FedRAMP obviously handles many of the requirements, but if you look at what happens from your, I don't want to get too technical, but operating system on up, then the particular agency is then responsible for those security controls around how all those things are implemented. And there are some differences between managing that, between a traditional data center and in a public cloud in particular. And so that's when they just need to really evaluate the rules that they have in place and how does that get translated into a new cloud environment.
Okay. So if I'm a government customer and, you know, and I want to go to cloud and I'm thinking about security, what are the things that you think they ought to focus on, or what should they be looking for in, with regard to a cloud provider?
So one of the advantages, I think, of having been involved with cloud for so long is we made the joke earlier, you know, the maybe experience on their way of looking at experience is the cumulative list of maybe mistakes you've made over the years. Now we've gotten a lot back to...
I have a lot of experience.
Right, a lot of upfront planning for where you want to be, right? Again, folks tend to focus on the migration and the decision to get there as opposed to the operating model once they're there. And that's absolutely critical. Getting back to the migration piece, I think we've done dozens of these from, you know, all variety of technology stacks moving into the cloud. And we've developed a pretty mature process for ensuring that getting the workload to the cloud, and then once it's there, operating the way that's going to be consistent for what the government, how they want to operate it.
So, yeah, can you talk a little bit more about your approach to cloud security? It seems to me it's such an interesting, challenging area. Because you're talking about some basic requirements, but then then agency unique requirements, and then trying to mesh that all together.
I mean, it really, obviously, the previous question, it starts with, you know, FedRAMP, you know, particularly in the public cloud arena, but it's going to be agency dependent, right? So, you know, you want to, our approach is to understand completely, you know, that particular agency's security requirements and their technical reference architecture, whoever that may be. And, you know, in most cases, they're very similar in general, but they do have specifics. And again, taking the experience that GDAT has in working with these various public clouds is then how are those particular security controls implemented in a cloud environment versus a traditional data center? And you know, we talked to a lot of different vendors, and if you look across the space, there's a lot of, you know, security vendors, cost modeling vendors, whatever you can think of that are stepping in to fill that gap. Again, a public cloud provides a lot of services, but you've got to figure out how to put them together and how to secure them. And there's a lot of other vendors coming in to fill that space. And so GDIT also works with many of these other vendors. We do proof of concepts in our own labs to make sure that, you know, we're going to get the end result when we go to implement it for a customer and so on.
So in a public cloud, right? So, you know, IRS is, let's say, that's a bad choice one, but but what agency X data is sitting here on the public cloud, sort of housed in a space, and right next to it might be company-wise information. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that has made folks uneasy since virtualization, right? If you look at the core differences, is what you're expecting is a physical separation, right? So physically, two different organizations wouldn't have the same data on the same box. But of course, logically, you can, from a technology perspective, absolutely keep those from ever intermixing and touching, which sounds very different. And of course, are these public clouds, depending on how they're implemented, can be where it's sitting on the same physical storage device, but it's logically separated. Mm-hmm. However you think about it, for a lot of agencies, going back to how you divide up a mainframe, it's actually not that new a concept of having those type of environments together. And the technical controls are certainly mature enough to, from a security standpoint, from FedRAMP standpoint, to make sure that doesn't happen.
And some vendors are, they do provide that separation for customers who need it, obviously at a higher cost. And that's a very, the agencies need to think about that, because I think that the trend that we'll see in the future is hopefully getting more comfortable with logical separation vice physical separation, which, would help reduce costs for the government. And those options of having that dedication platforms could go away.
It strikes me, we have to take a break in just a second, but it strikes me that logical versus physical, that gets back to me, is technology's capability sort of outstripping where people's mindsets are and where the policy or the laws are, whether it's like, and how you protect information, and being able to articulate that case that logical separation is equal to or better than, and physical or whatever, right?
Very much, right? For those customers to demand it and have that actual requirement, you can of course do it, but some of the economies of scales you would get, you obviously can't take advantage of. But I think a large component is the one you mentioned, Roger, is cultural. Right. For 30 years, people have been very comfortable walking down to their data center, their basement, and looking and go, my data is on that box there. And there's a certain comfort around that. Right. It's a whole different idea when you move to a cloud and you don't have that same level of I can touch it and tap it with my hand. And that is a cultural change. But from a technology perspective, from a security perspective, again, logical separation can provide for most agencies a lot of the separation that they need. Not all, but most.
OK, great. We have to take a break, guys. My guests today are Ken Georgi, he is Vice President of Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar, Program Vice President for, they're both from General Dynamics Health Solutions. And when we come back, we'll talk a little about Agile. We mentioned that in the first segment, but we'll get back on that. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from General Dynamics Health Solutions, Ken Georgi, he is Vice President for Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar, he is Program Vice President. Guys, this segment I wanted to tackle Agile development. So please just explain to me. I read about Agile all the time in the papers these days.
That sounds good. It has Agile right in the name, right?
Agile, is it what it sounds like? Okay.
It is. So the Agile methodologies, there's a way of developing software. And what I'd contrast it with is what's traditionally known as traditional waterfall. And the biggest difference is Agile is a much more iterative process instead of, for example, having typical, hey, we're going to do 4 or 5 months of development and we'll see what our product is at the end of 5 months. Agile would take an approach of building on a minimum viable project, doing what are probably known as sprints. Three, four weeks, and again, building on a successful core to build that out. And the advantages there, as you heard the term Kurt used earlier, to fail early. You can build on success. You're not hoping for a big bang. It's all going to work at the end. The idea is you get to see a working product much earlier in the development cycle.
And from a government perspective, or whoever that customer may be, you're getting to see the product develop as it goes, and if you don't like the direction that it's going, you can change that direction. You're typically not gathering requirements up front. You're working with a series of objectives that you're trying to accomplish, and then part of the Agile process is really gathering the user experience from the customers that are trying to build this product. They become stories that are referred to that are worked on in these 2 to 3 week sprint cycles, and then again, at the end of the 2 to 3 weeks, you're presenting a working product. And so that just builds on, it gives the customer more clear vision on what it is they're building. Do they like how it's progressing? Do I need to change direction? And I can just continue to build in that manner.
Right. So does Agile focus more on sort of what the final capability, I would say almost like a performance-based approach, or is it, I'm a layperson. Is waterfall more prescriptive? And
waterfall is more prescriptive. For those who are familiar with government contracting, you typically have a very detailed list of requirements, where in Agile you have the call a statement of objectives, which are much more loosely defined and allows the owner of that development to essessentially guide it, right? Sometimes, to be honest, they haven't thought exactly how they want the application or the system to function up front, and there, mm-hmm. it gives them the flexibility to make changes as opposed to the contractor going, hey, this was not what we agreed to up front, right? Mm, so right. It does, the advantage is it does have that flexibility.
Mm. The flexibility, the ability to fail early and move in other directions, are those the chief benefits that agencies see, or are there other benefits?
There are a few other benefits. Primarily, it's more cost effective, right? The ability to fail early or change direction early obviously means that I'm not going to waste a whole bunch of money into a sure. big, huge project that may fail.
Or a project, you get to the end and the users right. go, hey, this is not really what right. we were thinking this would look at. Right. And the customer goes, hey, I didn't think it would be quite work right. this way either. They get to see it, a viable yeah. product, much earlier. And I think that's the biggest, because you can certainly have a successful technical implementation. Hey, it does A through Z, all the requirements. It actually does that, but yeah. it actually doesn't fulfill their business need. And Agile does a better job yeah. than Waterfall at addressing that typically.
And what we're also starting to see, and I think it started with the digital services organization, but there's shorter length contracts, you know.
Sure.
That, yeah. You know, I've seen these big, huge, long, fixed price. I don't know what I'm going to get at the end.
I worked on some of those right. 20 years ago. Like, right. we want this system to be able to do and right. have 500 different requirements. Right. right.
And that also allows the government, you know, if this contractor is not going the way I want it to go, you know.
They can make a change.
They can make yeah. that change, and that's much easier.
So what are the challenges that you're seeing with agencies? Why haven't some agencies, or is it people reluctant to adopt this approach?
It's definitely from a customer's perspective of a very large cultural change, right? As opposed to spending your time to all the upfront time, determining requirements, you're involved daily, typically as the product owner, having to make decisions on priorities, requirements, what's into the next build, what's out. And for some, they're uncomfortable with that expectation or that making those decisions at that type of pace. It really is a big difference.
Yeah. So, what I hear you describe is, you know, in the old days or in a more traditional approach, you know, you'd say, here's our requirements. Come back and see us when you got something, right? Here it's much more mm-hmm. interactive, right? It's mm-hmm. truly a team approach, it seems to me.
It is, and you've got to be, I don't want to say ambiguities is the wrong word, but you know, with a fixed set of requirements via the waterfall
sure.
approach, you
mm-hmm.
know exactly, you know, what you're getting, whereas when I take the Agile approach, I'm working towards a general end goal, but what happens in between the start and finish is, you know, quite a different journey.
What are you seeing? What are you guys doing at GDIT to support and how, you know, help agencies utilize Agile?
A lot of the work we're doing in the cloud right now, in the cloud, really, we haven't really talked about DevOps, which is really the natural extension of Agile development methodologies into operations. So I've built my application.
Sure.
Now I have it in production and people are using it. And so DevOps kind of continues that paradigm. And so GDIT is really shifting the majority of how we develop products to an Agile DevOps mentality.
Great.
And again, in the hosting that work that we'll do in public clouds in particular go to support those DevOps mentalities. And you do get, and GDIT is the same way, these are hard-fought lessons learned, you know, as you transition to these methodologies. And so we see various contracting and agencies that with different levels of maturity, and we've done this often enough that we've been able to push folks in the right direction when they need to and work with them.
A lot of upfront training,
right.
Some piloting, right? Make sure that you have a successful initial you know, rollout and trial,
right.
But it's a lot of education and getting the team familiar with the approach. And that would include staff you wouldn't think of, the contracts that's going to support
right.
this, right? It's very different. And I say that both on the customer from the government agent and the contractor perspective, right? So Agile methodology, if you think about it go back to your former career, Roger, is I'm having to now bid a fixed price piece of software work
right.
without firm requirements, right? So that's something that takes a while to get comfortable with of what are the boundaries on those from a risk perspective, right?
Last question in this segment. So in listening to the description of that development process for Agile, is there a benefit coming out of this too from an organizational perspective? And I guess what I mean by that is as you work on the software to help assist an organization accomplish some mission or some goal or provide some output at the end of the day, that organization, does that also provide that organization opportunity to look at, well, we've done things, you know, structurally, management-wise, culturally a certain way, so you can does it provide a potential opportunity to take a look at yourself, so how what you're doing as an organization, see if there's areas where you can streamline to take advantage of what you're building?
I think absolutely. It's certainly changing the status quo in the agencies of how they approach, you know, hey, I need a system built. How am I going to approach this organizationally, contractually? And then, to be honest, I think by its nature, Agile forces kind of a closer partnership. It's not,
sure,
hey, well, to your point, hey, I'll see you in 3 and 6 months. Give me a PowerPoint every month. Let me know how your the development's going. It's a daily, right, where you're interacting, you're tight, you're working through the same challenges. I think there's a much better appreciation from both sides of, you know, that you're working towards a common goal and what you know, how to get around the challenges.
Right, and just to add to that, I do see in our customers that have really embraced public clouds in particular, a partnership between the program folks for the customer and the contracting folks in pushing to have that cycle go quicker as well.
Sure. So, okay, we have to take our last break. My guests today are from General Dynamics Health Solutions, Ken Giorgi, Vice President, Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar, he's a Program Vice President. And when we come back, we'll talk about some best practices for cloud deployment. I think we've covered some of these, but it's always good to talk about them again. I also got a question about IT modernization. Is cloud the answer? It's a big deal right now, eliminating legacy systems. And finally, we'll ask you guys to talk about a little bit about how you got to where you are now. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are from General Dynamics Health Solutions, Ken Giorgi, he is Vice President, Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar is Program Vice President. Guys, this last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about best practices in cloud deployment. Is cloud part of the answer to IT modernization challenges the government's facing? COBOL, for example, that's out there. And then we'll finish up with a few human interest, sort of how you guys ended up where you are today in your careers. And I understand you both were Marines. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, yeah, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. So, Kurt, can you talk a little bit about some of the best practices in cloud deployment?
Sure. Sometimes we do see agencies moving just to check the block. And so we see them moving an application as is into the cloud and really treating it like they would a traditional data center. And we didn't really get to the last segment about what is so appealing about the cloud and DevOps, but it's really how I can now deploy infrastructure with code, right? So I don't have a physical person building something. And I can start to extend my build process so that my build process becomes automatically deploying the platform I want my application to sit on, putting those COTS products or whatever open source on top of that, then laying down my application all in the appropriate architecture. I can automate a security scan after that to make sure everything looks good, and now my application is deployed. So it's really that's what the cloud offers, is that end state application programming interface, that infrastructure is just a matter of writing code. And so when we're talking about cloud best practices, it's having the application cloud aware so that it can take advantage of auto scaling, which, you know, so I'm not deploying more servers than I need and I scale as I need it. Again, using appropriate storage, but it's also a high level of automation in how I
that's the
continuous
key point,
integration,
right?
Continuous
to scale
delivery.
your environments and your management at an enterprise level. It's taking the human element out, right? Automate it, and take those practices, those methodologies Kurt mentioned, so you can essentially deploy and provision your application at the same time you provision your infrastructure.
Right, absolutely,
that's the key.
Okay. What does that mean again for me? I'm a layperson. It's running by.
It's quicker with less chance of error.
Right.
Okay. And more cost effective.
And when you're using things like agile methodologies where you're deploying much more often at a pace, it's essential. So if you want to support your agile methodologies in development, move to a DevOps model, automation piece surrounding DevOps is critical. That's the engineering services that we build on top of The resources provided, for example, by a public cloud are really, I think, the critical element that a firm like GDIT provides to
and that automation to what you've described too, that's that provides a greater flexibility to scale up and down, and
it provides security. There's a number of things. It's a cost benefit. It's making sure that I am deploying the same thing the same way every time.
Yeah,
it takes the human error out of it. It even addresses security and separation of roles and responsibilities in a lot of cases, because now I can, you know, in the old world, we have, you know, the developer can't touch the production system and a DBA can't, you know, do this. And in this new world, we're peer reviewing an automated process because we're taking the people out of it and the error proneness, you know, you ultimately have a reduced cost, and you know that you're deploying the same product every time the same way.
Right. So is cloud the key to IT modernization? And when I talk about that, that's a big issue, as you guys know, in government and right now in terms of trying to address legacy systems. I think, you know, they just announced the creation of Office of Innovation, right? The idea of trying to access commercial, but the government's legacy systems, you know, is cloud going to be one of the key strategies?
I think it's one of the key components, right? One of the things we really haven't discussed on is, okay, I want to move to cloud. When do you move in cloud? And there are certain what I call inflection points that make it most logical, right? When you have a natural technology refresh, when you're redoing the system. So if you can build in the cloud, start fresh, build a cloud native application, much easier. And as Kurt mentioned, you'll take advantage of what the cloud brings you, DR integration, an open technology stack right off the bat.
Again, I agree with Ken, it is a component of it. I think the IT modernization encompasses several processes, for example, the Agile and DevOps methodology.
DevOps, yeah.
It's how you build your applications and make them cloud aware. And I'd argue that, you know, if you look at what the vendors are starting to do to come into the cloud space, it's these capabilities, you know, around Agile, DevOps, infrastructure as code, those concepts that really can exist in a community cloud, a public cloud provider like AWS or Google or what have you, or on your own private cloud on-premise, those concepts all play a role in IT modernization.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting that the government is where, can you guys give me a sense, is the government, typically the government's behind the private sector, right, in adopting things like this. Is this the case here, despite the, you know, I'm just curious. There's been a huge focus
behind kind of has a negative connotation. I think from a risk perspective, in some cases, yeah, I'd argue they're behind.
Right.
In others, I think there's a prudent wait as technologies mature,
sure. Okay.
Right? And you can get your staff trained up. I think it's one component, as we talked on the break, as far as the modernization. There's a lot of components to that. You mentioned COBOL, right? There's a lot of large government systems that are still sitting on big mainframes. And again, they've been doing a great job for a lot of years, big batch file mainframe processing. But the reality is the folks to operate those systems are 60 plus years old. And so a migration to something that's going to be more supportable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that drives cost is going to help that modernization, right? And once you move it off that mainframe, inherently, usually it becomes more flexible if you decide you want to move it later.
Sure. So Ken, how'd you end up where you are today in your career?
Kurt and I have talked.
That's a big
question. I never imagined, it's not something when I graduated from school that I said, hey, I want to go work in the IT space. I grew up in Southern California. I went to school back east. I spent 10 years in the Marines. When I left, I caught the last of the technology boom and when the IT, the dot-com meltdown. And from there, got on with a very small company that helped grow called Buccaneer Computer. And that was through acquisition, ended up within General Dynamics Information Technology. And so within that space, I've been now within General Dynamics for over 5 years. And that's how Kurt came to us too. Kurt and I used to work back in the old Buccaneer days together.
All right. Kurt?
Yeah, I was, like Ken, I was in the Marine Corps for roughly 10 years. I was a C-130 navigator, which, you know, flew ocean missions and dropped people out of airplanes and things like that. And when the time came to look for a new career, there's just not a lot of demand for navigators out there.
Right,
also artillery guys. Not artillery, also not a proper civilian.
You did what?
Yeah, it just, it didn't really, wasn't an interview. I popper. So I went into IT after that. I had an interest in the Marine Corps as well, and I was the, you know, local IT guy that everybody went to. And went to work for Ken around 2009, I believe, at Buccaneer, which was later acquired by GDIT, and we've just kind of progressed ever since.
Yeah, interesting. It's fascinating. So just one last wrap-up question. Is in your career, your IT careers, what is the biggest thing you've seen change? And is it just the pace of technological change, you know, just increased? What struck you as one of the biggest trends? Is it the mobility we have now? What
mobile and you hit at the biggest, the top level, I think you hit on the pace of technological change, right? And things that on the surface might seem like small changes that actually, when you look at the implications, become big changes. And the example I'd throw out would be Uber, right?
No,
if some
right,
argue
sure.
You can ask, It's just a cab company, right? I've had cab companies in the U.S. for 80 years. But you think about it, no, it's the cost model and the delivery model is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud's the same way. A lot of folks will say, hey, you know, we've been supporting server and network and storage for, you know, 30 years. The cloud is, the old joke is, it's just a server somewhere else, right? Which is true on some level. However, the technological stack, the operational model and the cost model is very different, which makes it much more powerful.
Right. Most, yeah, I wouldn't say it's evolutionary or revolutionary. I mean, it's Kurt?
Again, at very fast pace, it's hard to keep up. And in order to stay, you definitely have to be one that has a passion for it and like to read a lot. But I think, you know, the discussion we're having today around cloud in particular is, I don't know that it comes to the game-changing point that the invention of the internet did, but it's certainly changing the way that people are doing business and delivering applications, making government agencies more responsible, or I'm sorry, responsive by able to deliver things via the cloud. It's changing the way that you know, companies like GDIT, system integrators, you know, need to work with their government partners. And so it's been, it's definitely a game changer.
Yeah, it's exciting. Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Guys, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, my guests today have been Ken Georgie, he is Vice President of Healthcare Enterprise Systems, and Kurt Lamar, he is Program Vice President. They're from General Dynamics Health Solutions. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Fed News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.